Morning, everyone. I'm just so mindful of the fact that we are children. We're children. We depend. We're so vulnerable. So I'm going to ask the Lord to bless this child and anoint her in what she's going to be sharing with us this morning, and bless you all.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for that reminder that we're compelled, we are ordered by the Lord to pray for Israel. Amen. So thank you for that prayer this morning that is so meaningful at this time. We think tomorrow is the anniversary of the October 7 attack. It's kind of hard to think it's been a year already. Time is going so quickly. But Lord, we just pray for your people, and thank you for that reminder, Dave. And so it's a privilege for me to stand before you this morning, as you said, small in number, but big in heart. And I know that the Lord is with us all this morning, and I just pray that he will bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it'll be acceptable to him and to you in Jesus' name. So what I'm going to bring to you this morning is, I've entitled my piece, if you like, The Wedding Feast. And it's based on a parable of Jesus that is told to us in Matthew. So who doesn't love a wedding? It's a time of joyful celebration, a time of gathering of family and friends, a time of serious vows being exchanged between two people who love each other deeply and want to spend all their years together. There is love and laughter, joy, happiness. In short, a wedding is a truly wonderful time. And Jesus used many parables or stories to help to explain complex concepts in terms we might more easily understand. And so in learning these parables, we need to look more closely at what is being told to us. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about a wedding, and we need to pay attention to the message that this wedding brings us. Now, the traditional Jewish wedding is a really interesting and meaningful series of events, which have serious and weighty consequences for us as Christians, even to today. So let's walk through the ceremony and see what we can learn. Firstly, now, sadly, this wedding tradition isn't carried on today, I suppose, you know, as everything, times change, circumstances change. But it's good to know the traditional wedding ceremony that was practiced for all those many, many, many years when the Jewish people still held to their traditions. So firstly, the bridegroom would choose his bride. He would then go to her parents and offer a dowry, a bride price, to show his honest intentions. So in essence, he was making a commitment right in the beginning to the parents of his bride that he would take care of her. So this, in today's terms, would be an engagement period, a time when the bride has been promised and she's waiting for the marriage to take place. The bridegroom would then go away to prepare a home for his bride, and that place is usually in his father's house. Now, of course, it'll take time to prepare a good home for his bride to be. It needed to be something really beautiful and worthy of his beautiful bride. And then the groom's father would only send him to fetch his bride when the father was satisfied that the house was ready to accept this bride. The bride, in the meantime, would be preparing herself with the help of her bridesmaids for the time when her fiancé would come to fetch her. Now, she had no idea when this would be. It had to be a surprise. He didn't let her know when he was coming. She just had to be aware that he would come when the time was right. So he would surprise her to start this time of great celebration. The bridesmaids also had to be ready. They had to prepare her for his arrival. So they had an important duty as well. So when the groom was sent to fetch his bride, he would arrive with his entourage and give a loud shout to warn the waiting bride of his imminent appearance. She with her friends would rush out to meet him. They would all carry lamps. They would provide light so that he could find his way to her. And then there would be the period of the wedding feast, the wedding reception, after which the bride would be carried away to her new home. And that is how the traditional marriage ceremony worked. And we need to see what Jesus is telling us when he told that story so that we can apply it to our lives. So let's look at how Jesus describes this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Okay. So this is how Jesus describes the wedding feast. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Really serious and weighty words, those. So this passage focuses not on the bride, but on her friends, the bridesmaids, referred to as the virgins in the passage. Now, these girls had to be very attentive and make sure that they, and the bride, of course, were ready for the groom's arrival. It would be a disaster if the groom arrived and the bride were in her curlers and nightwear, and the bridesmaids didn't have her beautiful wedding gown all ready for her to be dressed in. They had to listen carefully for the bridegroom's shout, so as to quickly get her ready to meet her groom. So we can see that this is an image of what happens and what will happen when Jesus comes to collect his bride. So who actually then is the bride? Jesus makes it very clear in Scripture that the church, all the people who have committed themselves to him, is his bride. This whole church, we who sit here, we are the bride of Christ. So that means all Christians, collectively, those who have given their lives to Jesus as Lord of their lives, are his bride. And we are being urged to be ready for his coming at any moment. And very soon, I believe, given all the signs pointing to his imminent return. There's so many signs if we'll just open our eyes, open our hearts. Jesus is on his way, and he's giving us warning that it won't be long. Now, I can see that some men might be a little uncomfortable with the thought of being a bride. I mean, that's a girl thing, isn't it? And I don't really see how you men can really picture yourself as being a bride, dressed in white and a veil and looking all demure and pretty. But put aside your macho image and see yourself as the one who is loved by Jesus, that he wants to take care of you, love you, protect you, provide for you. All those things a good husband does. And then just relax in his great love for you. It is customary today for a woman to wear an engagement ring as a sign that she's promised to someone, that she's not available to be pursued by any other man, and that she has agreed and committed to be her lover's wife, her beloved's wife. I wear a cross on a chain around my neck, and I see this as my engagement ring. This tells the world that I am promised to someone, that I've given a commitment to someone, and I'm waiting for the marriage. So anyone who sees the cross around my neck knows that I'm a Christian. I don't have to tell them. It is a very obvious sign, an outward sign of my commitment to Jesus as my Lord. So I wear my cross proudly, my engagement ring. Then who are the virgins? These are the people who've been invited to the wedding. Remember that the whole town was invited in those days. There weren't special invitations sent out. The wedding wasn't just for a select few. It was for the whole town. Everybody was invited. And it was accepted that everyone was welcome. Jesus calls all who will listen and follow. He wants everyone to come to the wedding and to his Father's house. Now, there were five wise virgins, those who were obedient to their calling and who remained at the ready. But there were five foolish virgins, those who played around, slept on the job, who ignored the gravity of the situation and thought that they could just borrow or buy their way into the feast. And then what is the significance of the oil in the lamps? Now, if you have oil in your lamp, it will give light at all times. I remember a song we used to sing at Sunday school. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. And we need that oil in our lamps. If you run out of oil, you'll be in darkness. Light means life, hope, and the presence of the Lord. Our lamps with oil signify our visible faith in Jesus, showing that we're ready to meet our groom. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is the oil within us. It gives us direction and purpose. The five virgins who ran out of oil showed that they were unprepared, caught napping. Now, to get back to the parable, these are the people who've been invited but have declined to accept the invitation to meet the groom. It also means that it's those who once accepted Christ's invitation but have lost their faith, or whose commitment has waned. There are the unsaved, as well as those who profess Christ with only their lips, who are the virgins without oil in their lamps. So then, what does it mean to be ready? This is not a physical readiness, but rather to be right with the Lord, an internal state of our hearts and minds, an attitude of eagerness for Jesus to be in control of our lives. We can get ready by spending time in prayer, talking and listening to God daily, reading scripture, listening to Christian music. All these things draw us closer to the Lord and grow us daily to be ready for his return. As I said earlier, the focus of this parable is the 10 virgins, those ready and eagerly awaiting the arrival of their beloved groom, and those who are not ready and waiting. The point of this parable is a stark and harsh one. When the bridegroom comes, it will be too late to start making preparations. It must be done now. The phrase that holds the key to this message is, "And the door was shut." There's an awful finality about those words. It means the door to the feast is shut and will never be opened. Those on the inside are safely inside. Those on the outside will never be granted access, no matter how hard they try and cry. Today, the door is still open, but we need to recognize that one day, and one day soon, it will be shut. There will be no second chance for those who refused entry, though either in death or at the return of Jesus, for those who have no inclination to hear the shepherd's voice. Either you make the decision to go through that door while you still have the time, or realize that you will never go through it. On which side of the door will you be when Christ comes? Inside, enjoying the celebration, having a lot of fun and laughter, or outside, crying and hammering at the door? Can you hear the foolish virgins pleading at the door? Let us in, sir. You invited us. We're sorry we're late. We didn't think you would come yet. We thought we still had time to get ready. And the door was shut. And the voice from the other side of the door said, I never knew you. The saddest words you could ever hear. Can we now apply this to ourselves sincerely, each of us, as we hear Jesus calling us? No matter how far along our walk with the Lord is, we need to constantly examine ourselves and see that we are ready. Jesus is our bridegroom. We are his bride. He chose us. And as John 14, verse 2 says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, just as it's done in the Jewish wedding ceremony. Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for us in his Father's house. And I believe that his Father is delaying the return of Jesus so that all people have a chance to hear and to respond. Today, the door of salvation is wide open. Let us not neglect our duty as bridesmaids to be ready ourselves and to help others to be ready to step through that door to the wedding feast. We need to be like the wise virgins. Keep our lamps filled with the oil of his Holy Spirit. Keep them trimmed, ready for action, and lighting the way for those who are in darkness and those whose lamps have gone out. That is our calling here, to be a light in the darkness, showing the way to those who think they have time still, those not ready to make a commitment to the bridegroom. And so I can only echo the words with which John closes the book of Revelation, the last words in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 to 21. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can we just spend a few moments in prayer? Father God, we thank you that we know you. We thank you that you are faithful and that you have shown us, Lord, you've shown us so clearly in this story, how it will be when you send your son Jesus to fetch us his bride. Help us, Lord, to be ready, to have our hearts open to you, to listen to your voice, to be prepared to be guided and directed by you who knows everything, you who are almighty. We sang in one of the songs, When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. I pray, Lord, that joy will be with us and that we will be like the wise virgins, that we will keep our lamps trimmed and filled with oil. Fill us, Lord. Thank you for this place where we can come every week to be filled anew. Thank you, Lord, that you give us your grace every day to see us through what lies ahead, but keep us focused on you, Father. And we thank you that you teach us so wisely, that you give us these examples. Help us, Lord, to carry our lamps, to bring that light into the darkness in which we find ourselves. And I ask again, Lord, that you hear our prayer for Israel as we bring her to you this morning. Hear our prayer, our Father and our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just very quickly, JP, would you just come up quickly and just tell us a little bit about the conference?
Sorry, ja, het is getting a gewoonte hier, so dat ek hier voor moet staan. Last weekend was actually very nice. Since we arrived in East London, we were just heavily blessed. We were at our host Sunday morning. I got out, walked onto the veranda with a cup of coffee, and the whales are playing in the sea. That was the first lovely day of the weekend start. And everything was just so amazing. The people there, the Word of God. And it's funny how life actually becomes a reality, or things become a reality. It was the messages was about the devil. It's every time it's there. And the whole weekend I've been praying, because we had people looking after our house, and Sunday when we came back, they broke into our house. And all my tools, some of you know, all my tools are gone, so yeah, it's hard to work, but anyway. And it's just the devil constantly trying to get involved in our lives. And we just tell him, listen, go away. But he's constantly there fighting for us and trying to take us away from the Lord. So yeah, as all of us must just, like this morning, just keep on, just tell him to go away. When I was in Sub A there, and we used to be naughty in class while the teacher's talking in the front, she used to say, keep quiet, and we're like carrying on. He said, devil's on your shoulder, just give him a slap. Sitting there. Thank you.
Thanks, JP.